This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up tonight, Ted Bell, the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, his son has been arrested for a senior prank. Are you aware of the tradition of seniors having a prank, having a little bit of a giggle on their old school? You know, they'll glue the doors shut at the school or something. Apparently, his kid was arrested for a prank that Ted doesn't see any harm in. They spray painted swastikas all over some American flag mural. But hey, it's just a prank, right? Don Parsley will be on with us. He was a victim of some kind of abuse over in Iraq. He's not being very clear as to this, but apparently the American soldiers made him walk around nude. But he doesn't want any money for it. He just wants to tell his story. Now, we have a news item here that I guess I should report to you. A military rocket launcher was found today near a suburban commuter train station in Atlanta. Now, the FBI says it appears to be a model used to train soldiers and would be incapable of bringing down an aircraft or destroying a train. According to the FBI, if it is indeed a training device, it's something you can buy at any gun store. It's a 3-foot shoulder-held launcher. It was not loaded. They say that it had been fired once. Now, if you're familiar with Atlanta, MARTA, Metropolitan Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority, they have trains that run in and out of Hartsfield International Airport. And they say that this was found on tracks near the airport. Transit employees discovered the weapon near a station just outside of Atlanta on an embankment next to the tracks. According to the FBI, it had been fired once. It kind of looks like a mini bazooka. We're trying to figure out when it was used and how it was used. But remember, folks, if they find anything like that, it's probably George Bush's fault. He planted it. And if he didn't plant it, then he caused some guy to want to blow a plane out of the sky. Remember, always remember, it's the Boy Scouts' marching song. It's all President Bush's fault. And if you can just remember that, then you'll do, basically what you're supposed to do, which is get him out of the White House, have Kerry go in there, and I'm sure everything's just going to be hunky-dory, and there will be no terrorists once Kerry is in there. Although Kerry did say something today that I actually agreed with. He said that the president ought to stick his finger in the face of those Saudis and start getting a little bit more oil production going. What else are we going to do? Is nobody going to be running around buying any hybrids anytime soon? The gas prices are not coming down. The situation as it exists right now is oil production needs to be boosted so that the prices can come down. And how do you do that? You ain't going to do it by asking nice. Would you please, please? Wait a minute. I forgot. It's a conspiracy. That's right. The Saudis are going to bring the price of gasoline down just ahead of the election so that Bush can get reelected. Yeah, that's right. I forgot all about that. Remember, folks, there's always a conspiracy that can explain away common sense and what is actually in front of your face. So if you're looking in the mirror and you see the person that you think you're seeing, remember, that's just a conspiracy. You probably actually look like Mickey Rooney. That's what's happening now. I mean, that's what's going on in the world. What's right smack dab in front of your face, what is obvious for a preschooler to see, grown adults are being asked to consider any number of cannabis-marinated conspiracy theories. Maybe it was the people from the moon. Maybe it's the Moon Maiden from Dick Tracy. Maybe it's the gold manipulation. There's a diamond mine in Liberia that nobody knows about that Bush is actually buying diamonds from, and he's giving them to Osama bin Laden to help create a big thing so that he'll get reelected and he'll become dictator for life. It could be, UFOs. Who knows? Who cares? Anything other than the truth. Anything other than reality. What's the one that we heard? Oh, yeah, the Nick Berg video's fake. All kinds of stuff. We got new, Kerry thing, I do agree that we should muscle the Arabs. But then maybe that wouldn't be right. Maybe that would be like saying, telling them what to do. And we don't have any right to tell them what to do. Now, do we? We shouldn't tell people how to run their lives and their businesses. Let's just keep paying that $3 a gallon. But by the same token, let's remember that we have every right in the world to live the lives that we want to live. So let's just keep buying those SUVs. In other words, let's just keep acting stupid and blame it on somebody else. That's the Boy Scout marching song, Baby. Welcome to another day in paradise, baby. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. We have our souvenir shop wide open, baby, for Father's Day. I want you to take a look at some of the things we have in there. The 16-can cooler for Daddy with the AM-FM radio. This thing's beautiful. It's got the Phil Hendry face right on it. It's got our little logo. We have the garden set for Mom. This is kind of a wild thing when they told me about the garden set. I said, I don't know, gardening tools? They said, sure, why not? We're going to put your face right on the seat. I said, well, okay. It's a combo stool, a bag, and a cooler, plus a five-piece gardening tool set. Great for gardening, or, you know, you get mad at somebody, you can take that trowel and go to work. Features the Western Estates Country Club logo. Durable, portable stool, insulated. It's all there in our souvenir store. I don't want to go too deeply into it. The number is 1-800-449-8686. So anyway, a rocket launcher. Now this thing, it could be some kids that bought it at an Army surplus store and thought they'd go over to the train tracks and see if they could blow up a train. It could have been some psycho with a militia who thought that he would act on his own to whatever the hell, you know, punish the big bad American government because we, you know, charge too much for our income tax. You know, maybe the dude doesn't like the price of the tax on beer. Maybe he's protesting an elevation in the price of the average six-pack of Old Milwaukee. It could be terrorists. It could be anything. Because like the man said, you know, they only have to be right once. We got to be right 100% of the time. So that's that. And then the other thing is, there was new reports of abuse from some Reuters and NBC reporters. U.S. forces beat three Iraqis working for Reuters and subjected them to sexual and religious taunts and humiliation during the detention last January in a military camp, the three said. This is another one of those stories that come out, you know, 2 weeks after the big story comes out. All of a sudden, what, they had a flashback and they remember that they got beaten? Now listen to this. And tell me that you can't keep from laughing. Tell me that you could actually keep from, you know, keep stifling. What am I trying to say here?
That you don't want to laugh?
Anyway, thanks, bud.
Well, you've been blowing it lately, man. You need more sleep.
I need more sleep. Listen to this. And always keep in mind the video of Nick Berg. Here is the horrible thing that was done to them. One of the guys said the U.S. troops forced him to put his finger in his butt. Are you kidding me or what? I mean, it may be humiliating, dude, but, you know. And then what? I had to put my finger in my butt. Meanwhile, a guy's getting his head sawed off. Are we serious? You know, I've gone beyond even trying to apply any credulity to any of this. I just, whatever turns you on, baby, you know. And all the people in this country who act so outraged. Meanwhile, I read a story where some Catholic prisoners are trying to get wine with their communion, and they won't give it to them. And nobody wants to say anything about that. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. I'm reading about it in sports pages now. The abuse. Abuse is the word, see? Because they can't say torture. They can't say torture, and they can't say murder. Because torture hasn't been proven, murder hasn't been proven, rape hasn't been proven, sodomy hasn't been proven. None of the horror stories that began to pour out when the floodgates opened on this thing, and the floodgates opened with nothing but a stream of bullcrap on this thing, say, a week and a half ago. So they can't say any of that. So they can only use the word abuse, and they use it as if it's interchangeable with the word murder. And I'm even reading it in sports pages.
The abuse of the citizen.
The abuse. Abuse. Now, what is abuse? First of all, when you read about sleep deprivation, be aware that it is entirely consistent with the Articles of War and the Geneva Convention to apply sleep deprivation to a prisoner to interrogate them. There is nothing against international law in sleep deprivation. And it is achieved by banging on walls, by keeping people awake. That is not a violation. Now, the other things, the jury's still out, but the military seems to think that there was grounds to place certain people under court-martial because they had gone beyond the pale in terms of the detainment of these prisoners. These individuals from Reuters and NBC say they were tortured and abused. The United States military, in a report issued before the abuse came public, listen to this, said there was no record, no evidence of it whatsoever. All three said they were forced to make demeaning gestures as soldiers laughed. Oh, no, not that. And then they took pictures of them with shoes in their mouths. You have to understand, Mr. Henry, that's very demeaning in the Arab culture. I don't care. I don't care. Well, you don't care about their culture? Hey, frankly, no, I don't. Some of the more extreme aspects of their culture, no, I could give two hoots, man, about their shoes in the mouth or whether a woman is leading them around. I don't give a sweet crap, okay? And then, he stood before the tribunal and said,
and then one of the soldiers,
yes, sir,
made me put my finger in my butt.
The bastard! Meanwhile, a cat gets his head sawed off, and it's like second page news. Where are we living, man? Because it ain't the planet Earth. Where did we get hijacked to? Is this Jupiter? Pluto? Is it finally catching up? Is all of that acid that the baby boomer generation took, is it finally starting to kick in now? I think it is. It's finally kicking in. All that mescaline, all that psilocybin tea, it is finally kicking in now. The neurons have finally degenerated. The neurotransmitters have finally just gone zip, and there's no real communication of logic in any sector of the brain. See, kids, another reason why you should stay clear of drugs. Your parents, their brains are so marinated in LSD-25, they're now just absolutely agog and aghast at a guy having to put his finger in his butt, but a dude that gets his head sawed off, that's kind of a yawner. This is what's going on. Oh, please, take over the world rather than later, okay? All right, now coming up, Ted Bell's son has been arrested for his senior prank. They painted Nazi swastikas on an American flag mural, but Ted doesn't see the big deal. It was just a senior prank. Don Parsley was mistreated in Iraq by American soldiers. They made him sniff his finger after he picked his nose. I think they made him pick his nose in front of people. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back after these messages.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. South of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. North of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. The Wild Card Line, 1-800-449-8686. The Wild Hair Up Your Ass Line, 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, 1-800-449-8686. Last-time callers, 1-800-449-8686. Middle-time caller, 1-800-449-8686. And now, Art Bell.
Thank you very much, Ross Mitchell, and good morning, everyone, from Canada to Mexico, from Russia all the way to the Hawaiian Islands, from Southeast Asia to the very tip of the North Pole, to all the elves, to Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. A very pleasant, a very luxurious good morning to you. I'm Art Bell, and welcome to Coast, and we got a tale to tell you tonight. General Johnson Jameson has returned from Iraq and was the victim of abuse by American soldiers. The story that he has to tell will shock you to the very core of your being. That American soldiers would be capable of this kind of treatment of prisoners will truly make you spit your milk through your nose. But first, this word from Peenemann Enterprises. As you know, as we've been reporting, the world is coming to an end. Trust me. And when the world comes to an end, what are you going to use for spending cash? With the new Bank of America Versatile card, you could get money at 3,000 locations worldwide. Yes, don't be left without any cash, folks. Use that Versatile card so when the world does come to an end, you can negotiate your release from the Mad Max and his war, his whatever the hell. And his Road Warrior people. I'm sorry, friends, but as you know, my show is on late night, and I don't sleep. And as a result, me no talk no good. I'm Art Bell, and now let's get General Johnson Jameson on the line. Forget about whether we can sell more garbage from Peenemann Enterprises. Who cares? General Jameson, how are you? That's the most important thing.
Well, Art, I'm humiliated. I've been humiliated. I don't think I'll ever be able to face my wife and children again. I went to Iraq to get to the bottom of the criminal invasion of that country by President Bush, surely one of the worst human beings to ever walk the earth since Hitler.
Without a doubt.
And so I went over there to try to find out for myself. I'd read where Sean Penn had done it. I thought, well, why can't I? I went over and I saw the brutal treatment, but I never thought what happened to me would happen to me.
Now, you were taken into custody by members of the 4th Armored Regiment, 3rd Division, 15th Regiment, 46th Infantry. Is that correct?
Yeah, something like that. I forget. I was taken to a prison in the central part of Baghdad, and it was at that time that they began to abuse me. They abused me.
What did they do?
Well, they made fun of my hair, started talking, you know, where do you get your hair cut, stuff like that, and I could feel my manhood dribbling away from me as they started talking about my shoes. And I told them that they were Bruno Magli because I don't like OJ, but I admired his shoes. And they said, well, that's cheap crap. That's not even real leather. They accused me of wearing a shoe that wasn't real leather.
Sweet Jesus.
But then it really got bad. They started commenting on my taste in shirts. I said, this happens to be a Tommy Bahama, and there was a big, you know, martini glass, and they started laughing, said Hilfiger was better. And I just, oh, God.
Just stay with me, General. What else?
They then told me to take my clothes off, and they put us all in a pool of water.
Now, when you say all, who else was there with you?
There were other people, Iraqis. We took off our clothes and they gave us bathing suits. And they led us to a large body of water. It looked to have plaster at the bottom, and there was coping along the side, and there were chairs and tables around it.
It was a swimming pool?
That might have been what it was, yeah. They forced us to go into it. We were then told to close our eyes and yell Marco while another guy yelled Polo.
All right. And then tell me what else happened.
Well, first of all, the Iraqis don't speak English, do they? So they can't play Marco Polo. So the brutalization didn't end there.
General Jameson, this is very compelling. And I'd really like you to keep crying because it'll keep people listening. But I have to pretend like I care. So please, sir, at any time you want to stop this conversation, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, of course.
Anyway, tell me what else.
Well, then, I got out of the pool and I wanted to go over and get a hamburger. They told me they didn't take American Express.
Oh, my God.
No. And, of course, that's the only plastic I had on me.
We are talking with General Johnson Jameson, who saw firsthand the abuse that is being meted out by American soldiers in Iraq. General Jameson, can you get through this final piece of information? Because everything that you're saying tonight on our show will be recorded and sent to the United States Military Tribunal.
It was at that time that they lined us all up and told us to pick our noses and eat it.
I want you to repeat that. You were told to pick your noses and then eat it.
Yes.
Well, there it is. General Johnson Jameson forced to play Marco Polo. They didn't honor his American Express card. And then he had to pick his nose and eat it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going on in your name in Iraq. Do something about it. I'm Art Bell.
Bye.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Bill Henry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tonight our special guest will be Ted Bell. He is the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills. His son arrested for a senior prank. You know what? Senior pranks. The seniors, outgoing seniors, often go back to their old school and toilet paper the place, or they spray paint the place, or they glue doors shut, or this or that. His son was arrested for spray painting swastikas on a American flag mural. But again, Ted thinks that this is a much ado about nothing since it's just a prank. Don Parsley, another American who was abused by American soldiers, will be on our show to talk about it. Although he's not quite sure whether he was abused or whether he's just imagining he was abused. Anything to raise a little bit of money for himself. That's coming up tonight on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Tonight we are calling, as you know, on Michael Moore, the filmmaker, the maker of Bowling for Columbine, the man who made Roger and Me, the man who made the most recent film, the controversial Fahrenheit 9/11, The Temperature at Which Freedom Burns. We are calling on Michael Moore to come out of the closet and declare openly his homosexuality, because it is only then that he can rid himself of the ongoing angst about never having had sex with a woman and admit to himself and to the world that he, in point of fact, is a homosexual and is probably obsessed on some level with President Bush that way. Now, that happens to be our opinion, but we believe it's rooted in serious fact. There's a story today out of Cannes. Michael Moore is a shy man, a lazy man. He's a couch potato. He was interviewed, and he lists his flaws. Certainly he doesn't mention the fact that Fahrenheit 9/11 and Bowling for Columbine, a lot of other movies, are completely fictitious, but he kind of, you know, goes past that one. He mentions the fact that he's not well read enough. He says he needs to read more fiction. Instead of, for instance, making more fiction, he ought to read more fiction. He also says that he's lazy, but he also hints at his sexual confusion. I'm a very shy, I'm very introverted. I think I was able to ask out one girl in high school, and I didn't do much better after high school. I had to wait around for people to ask me out. I can't stand looking myself in a mirror. I don't have enough of an ego. And the fact of the matter remains that I could very well be a flaming homosexual, end quote. So we are asking anybody in the gay community listening to us, contact Michael Moore and help him with this problem, because as soon as he comes out of the closet, he'll realize that his obsession with Bush will suddenly evaporate, because there's, you know, obviously there's other opportunities out there. But to take out his sexual frustration in a way, that is to publicly lash President Bush, when in point of fact what you'd like to do is ask him out, we think is wrong. We just think it's darn wrong. The other thing you might want to do, Michael, is if you picked some of that coleslaw out of your mouth and beard, maybe women would call you and ask you out. It's just a suggestion. I don't want to tell you what to do. Far be it for me to tell a man what to do. But picking some of that food out of your beard may get a woman to want to say, wow, you know, he's got dough. He's famous. He obviously thinks very highly of himself. He can manipulate his image any way he wants. And the French love him. What's not to like? Fahrenheit 9/11 mixes humor and horror to convey Moore's accusation that the Bush camp stole the 2000 election, was caught dozing September the 11th, and fanned fears of more terrorism to secure public support for the Iraq war. Exactly. Precisely. And totally original point of view, I might add. We've never heard that one before. But Mr. Moore, a lot of these things, these hallucinations that you're having, can be cured if perhaps, for instance, you stopped eating so much, right? So that a lot of that doesn't back up into your brain. And maybe getting a little bit of that fat that is leaning so heavily on your spinal stem, your brain stem, and it might help you think a little more clearly. Moore hopes the movie can muster an anti-Bush vote, but he said his main goal was to entertain, not influence. That's right, you're a funny guy. You're particularly funny when it comes to the comment, I can't get any women interested in me. A, admit you're gay. B, take a bath. It is rare, and I don't know what's when it's happened in the last 20 or 30 years when someone on the left has crossed over to mainstream America, said Moore, not wanting to talk about himself. That's mostly the left's fault because they don't know how to talk to real people. In fact, they don't really like real people, a lot of them. Unlike many liberals in the professional liberal left world, I didn't exercise my sense of humor. In fact, I don't really have a sense of humor, he said. I would much rather the movie be funny or have humor in it because I think that's a much more effective way to reach people. Unfortunately, it has neither, said Michael Moore about his latest film, Fahrenheit 9/11. The temperature at which Moore's farts ignite. By the way, Michael Moore was last seen trying to ignite one of his farts, and the end result was the burning of three hotels there in Cannes. So the whole thing is bad, man. Speaking of abuse, if it isn't Michael Moore talking, it's something. And Don Parsley is on our show to talk about how he was abused by American soldiers in Iraq. I'm getting tired of being abused by Moore. Every time he opens his mouth, I feel like I'm having to walk around nude with a dog collar on. Just looking at that guy is enough to, I don't know, it makes me feel like I had to sniff my own finger after putting it in my butt. And stuff like that. By the way, those of you who want to call and complain that I said that, that's what some guy claimed the soldiers made him do in Iraq. Or are we not supposed to talk about that? 1-800-449-8686. Get a load of that guy. You know, I don't want to talk about myself, but let me do it anyway. Hey, Moore, either you do a movie about the truth or you're doing a film that is satirical. You can't do both. Do you understand? Let me, anytime you need my help in understanding how to do satire, you give me a call, Phil Hendry, here at Premier Radio Networks, Sherman Oaks, California. I'll explain how it's done. You'll get a whole lot of people going to see your flick, yeah. People don't go to your movies, man, because they think you're funny. People go to see your movies because they think you're actually telling the truth. They believe you to be a documentarian. Don't you understand that, Moore? Nobody thinks you're funny, man. Everybody thinks that you're actually doing a documentary on what happened before 2001. Everybody thinks you're actually doing a documentary on America's obsession with guns. Everybody thinks you're actually doing a documentary about Roger Moore and how he messed up Flint, Michigan. Nobody thinks you're funny, dude. You have to get through to them that you're actually trying to be funny. When they find out that you're actually trying to be funny, A, they'll realize that you're not, and B, they won't take the crap that's in your movie so seriously. That's all I'm saying. But he doesn't come out and say that, man. What he says is, well, I use a little satire and a little... He mixes humor with horror. What? You can't do... You're either one or the other, man. That's when you're making a movie. When you're doing a radio show, you got 3 hours to fill. You can do both. You can mix humor with horror. Like we do in this show every night. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, it's Ted Bell and Don Parsley, each with their own tale of woe to tell on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up, we've got a snippet from our roundtable we had with Vernon Dozier and Raj Fanin on why American Muslims don't spend more time speaking out against other Muslims in the Middle East. Mr. Dozier, a high school gym teacher, and Mr. Fanin, a Muslim American Muslim who is, or a Muslim American if you want, who, you know, thinks the whole thing is like whack. 1-800-449-8686. Also, Ted Bell and Don Parsley coming up on the show. Here is Dave. Dave?
Hey.
Yes, sir.
How you doing tonight?
Fine.
Listen, you've really lost points with me tonight, man. I want you to know that. I've generally held you in pretty high regard. I've been listening to Real Radio here in Atlanta for a couple of months since y'all switched formats. To me, you've always made the most sense out of most of the DJs, but why
DJ
is it...
DJ is disc jockey. I prefer to call myself a radio personality. Yes.
Why is it that instead of taking on the points that he's making in his movie 459, that instead of examining what he's saying,
459. What's 459?
What 459 Fahrenheit? What's the name of the movie?
451 is the original.
The name of the movie that Ray Bradbury, the book that Ray Bradbury wrote, that the film was made from, is called Fahrenheit 451.
Okay, I'm
his
sorry,
film
I got
is called Fahrenheit 9/11.
Okay,
Moore's film.
Fahrenheit 9/11. My right. fault. My it's been a long.
It's all right.
Maybe
you need some
anyway,
sleep.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
But anyway, why do you gotta take him on in such a way that you got to go on a personal character attack here?
You're well, I'm going just being at
him,
satirical.
You're calling him fat. I'm being satirical.
Doing
all this stuff.
Hey, Dave, I'm being satirical, man. Or do you want my answer? I'm being satirical the same way. See, Moore doesn't make points in his film. Didn't you hear what he said? He's using satire. He's not really dealing with the truth. Hello?
I'm here. Okay.
So, when you say he's raising points, understand that you're making him vulnerable now to analysis. And when you analyze Michael Moore's films, they're full of contradictions and lies. So
sure
let's not.
Are.
So let. Sure they are.
He's
well,
no.
Wait a minute, sir. That's like saying let's analyze a Laurel and Hardy movie and see exactly did the pie really hit him or was it just a special effect? You know, either the guy's doing satire or the guy's a documentarian. Michael Moore wants it both ways. You can't have it both ways. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'll be satirical. He's a fat slob and he's gay. There. How's that? Frankly, I think I'm funnier than him because
well,
he's trying to be satirical.
A given.
No, he's trying to be satirical. But he's making these virulently vicious attacks on Bush that he can't back up.
Well, granted, I have not seen the new movie. I have seen Bowling for Columbine.
Same story. Same
okay,
story, Bowling
you know
for
what?
Columbine.
Oddly enough, he proves your thesis about this whole debacle as far as what's going on in 9/11.
I thought you didn't see the movie. I've
seen Bowling for Columbine. And Bowling for Columbine helps to support your thesis of why 9/11 happened, and that is the media.
No, I never said that. Hey, man, bag yourself some sleep, okay? See you later, Dave. I said the reason why 9/11 happened ultimately is that the American people slept through the 90s. The American people. No. I don't play that media game. I don't do that media blame game, baby. The media blows. Sure, it blows. I mean, I work in it. I know how sloppy this business is. But what's doubly shocking is the fact the American people take everything so freaking serious that comes dribbling out of the mouths and the rear ends of the media. No. I will always hold the American people ultimately responsible for the butchery of 3,000 people there on if you want to blame Bush, baby, then you better be ready to blame yourselves because we slept through the 1990s. More in love with how we were going to make a couple of bucks than what was going on in the world beyond us. No, I don't play that media thing. And if I'm too honest, if it doesn't play well with the audience, oh, gee, Phil, you're not pandering to us. You're not telling us things we want to hear. Hey, you know what, man? I've had a good life. I've had a good career. I'll go do something else. But the fact is, we're all to blame. Now let's get into the comedy. Vernon Dozier, Raj Fanin at that round table, American Muslims. Why won't they speak out? Vernon is really angry.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
First of all, I feel like I'm listening to a bunch of 10-year-olds on this program.
Amen.
Mr. Dozier.
What's that supposed to mean?
I would like to know what you said. Mr. Dozier is a teacher.
Yes, ma'am. I'm a high school teacher. I teach varsity football. I also am a junior and senior mathematics instructor. I teach calculus as well as advanced trigonometry.
Well, that's fantastic. Teachers are number one in my book, but
thank you very
I
much.
Would be very, very leery to be in one of your students because I feel that your interpretation of this. First of all, you guys are getting way off on the Bible and the Quran. It just depends on how you interpret the Bible and the Quran. And you're going around in circles. Everybody has a different way of interpreting that, what they read. And you're going around in circles with that.
I
totally believe.
You're sticking up for the Muslim.
All right. No, I'm not finished. And don't call me sweetie.
Look at sweetie. Well, I didn't call you sweetie, but how dare you judge me?
Really?
I didn't. If I called you sweetie, then I must be out of my mind because you're just making me angry right now.
And let me tell you something.
Why don't you shut your mouth and let the lady speak? You say that you're telling me to shut up again.
Mr. Dozier, you are a very close-minded person. Number one, you have You're saying things that are very, very provocative, like this Muslim person, you people. Now, that gentleman doesn't have anything to do with what's happening. He has just as much right to be in this country as anybody else does. That's what makes our country so wonderful.
Well, now I moved to California as an American citizen, and I got another American backing up this guy. When I'm look, honey,
backing him up.
Look, sweetheart, I got a $150 DVD player sitting at the bottom of my pool.
Sweetheart again, and I'd appreciate it if you did not call me sweetheart.
A Muslim man treats a woman much better than an American man. Don't you tell me to shut my mouth.
You know what? You guys are having a conversation with yourself.
Right, yeah. Gwen, go ahead.
I am not sticking up for anybody. I am just stating a few facts that I believe are true.
You just called her twits.
Now, I am not a kid. I'm 50 years old, and I'm not a child, and I'm educated.
Look, honey,
What do you expect this gentleman to do? He's already told you that he's teaching his children.
That's right. He's teaching his children. He's doing it in his community.
He's doing it in his community. I mean, really, what do you expect him to do?
Look, Toots, every time this guy...
Okay, did you just hear him call me Toots now? Now he's called me Sweetie, Honey, and Toots.
So I'm being friendly. Oh, now there's a law against that. Nothing I say is right, and everything he says is wrong, and I'm getting real tired of that.
You know what your problem is? You have less respect for a woman than a Muslim man does.
Why, you...
You know, Mr. Dozier, you need to get a handle.
Why is everyone picking on me?
Because, Mr. Dozier, you are out of control. You throw your CD player in the pool.
You crash the phone against the table.
Whatever it was. How old are you? Are you a child or are you an adult? If you're an adult, then you should have an adult conversation with this gentleman.
Gwen, could I say to you, I would honor you. A Muslim man, and this Christian man is a pig, and he should shut up.
Why, you calling me a pig? Telling me to shut up. The day I let a towel wrapper come...
Aha! So there it is. There it comes out. Towel wrapper.
When you pushed me into it, and you owe me for a DVD player.
I just think it's hilarious.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think about this towel hit? Do you hear that? He's listening to the radio in Arab talk.
But my wife is listening to broadcasts from Egypt.
You know what?
This every night.
Don't you think that he wants to know what's happening in his homeland?
How do you know he's not getting some kind of message from over there? Some kind of shortwave message from Bin Laden to say, okay, when I say go, you go.
Yeah, Bin Laden is sending him particularly a message out of all the millions of Muslims that are in this country.
Let me ask you something, Gwen. You must be Islam. What's your name? Sinjay or however that...
You know what? Listen to that.
He's probably waiting for the code word, which is something probably like salam or some crap. Then he's going to go down to the utility station where the electrical power for an entire grid is powered and blow it to hell.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey everybody, this is Ted Bell. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, a great all-day roasted pork loin with prime rib, your choice, only $6.99.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your...
Ted Bell is with us from his restaurant, Ted's in Beverly Hills. Your son, Josh, has been arrested or was arrested and released.
Before you even get into that, Phil, I want to say that my son was involved in a high school prank.
I know that is what you are characterizing it as, but the whole reason I wanted to have you on is because the senior high prank or the senior prank night is a traditional thing. I understand that.
It is a lie, Phil. First of all... You have to understand, the senior prank is a long-standing tradition among high school seniors across the United States of America. And you need to realize that it is, because it is a long-standing tradition, it is something that is held in very high regard, and we start arresting kids for something that is absolutely innocent. And
well, your son was suspended. He's not going to attend graduation. That much we know.
Okay, but I want to speak before we start laundry listing what you think myself. You know that what is troubling is that people don't remember that the senior class prank is a longstanding tradition. We've forgotten that as a result. We have these problems. We are very angry at the school administration, the current climate of political correctness that pervades the country. We are.
Well, tell me what happened so that I'm not just rolling out what your son did wrong, but that you what you feel happened.
Well, we wanted to be, look at Josh and a couple of his buddies were talking about their senior prank, the prank that you ask anybody in your audience. This is standard for any kid that's a senior. And they wanted to do something, and I told them what I thought would be fun for them to do. And from my days as a senior in high school, I know what a good prank is.
Here is the statement to the police, Ted, that was given.
And by the way, getting the police involved was so unnecessary.
Well, the statement said that swastikas were spray-painted across an American flag mural that the students had dedicated to for the victims of 9/11.
Well, this whole 9/11 thing, I don't know that American flag was dedicated to the victims of 9/11. The American mural flag had been there for a long time. I told the boys they wanted to spray-paint something along the lines of praise Allah or Allah something.
Some kind of a Muslim slogan?
Yeah, they wanted to do a Muslim-type prank. I told them, this is where the prank turns into vandal. I told them our country is in the middle of a war with some Muslim people. We don't want to incite hate against them. So I said, whatever you're doing, I don't want you to know, I don't want to know what you guys know what it is, but I don't want to get these ragheads, or not, I didn't say raghead, but I said, we don't want to get the Muslims upset, so I said, keep the Muslims out of it, because what happens is, these Muslims go wild. And I told myself, they'll go wild on you if you do that. So,
well, all right, but they spray-painted swastikas, with spray paint, by the way, that cannot be washed off. The swastika is an internationally recognized sign of hatred.
I understand that, Phil, but you need to understand something. You're talking about something that goes back a long time. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. The last time I checked, there's no more boxcars filled with people.
Ted.
Phil, the thing you need to understand is the senior prank is a longstanding tradition. The swastika has traditionally been used in the senior prank. There's no hate intended.
The swastika, as I said, is an internationally recognized sign of hatred.
It is used in pranks. My God, you can't drive anywhere without seeing one spray painted on a wall. What's wrong with you?
And Mr. Bell, your son faces criminal charges stemming from the fact police consider this to be, in the very least, vandalism, destruction of public property, possibly a hate crime.
No way is this a hate crime.
Well, your son's in trouble. And
well, I can tell you something, Phil. You say my son's in trouble. Fortunately for me and for this community, I've contributed a great deal of money for a number of years to the Beverly Hills Police Department. I'm also a member of the Beverly Hills Chamber of Commerce. Thank God we live in a country where police departments across the country recognize the generosity of a citizen, and when one of those citizens gets in trouble, they'll say, well, let's bygones be bygones.
Well, I don't know anything about that, but why did they use paint that couldn't be washed off? Why?
I don't know. What is the difference?
Well, there's paint that you can wash off.
I'm not aware of that. I know that look, this is the senior prank that is a longstanding tradition.
Are you saying to me that there's a longstanding tradition of spray painting swastikas across American flags with paint that doesn't wash off?
You're asking me, Phil, a question as to the method. I'm telling you the tradition exists. Now, my son doesn't hate anyone. And you talk about the swastika. We have so many Jewish clients coming into our restaurant. I can't even count the number of Jews that I got coming that pour in there on Passover. And the fact of the matter,
I can't count the number of Jews that pour in there on Passover.
Right. So that's, in other words, that was a hateful thing to say?
I think it was a little insensitive sounding, yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, I really feel, I don't know who to feel sorry for more. I feel sorry for you because you're getting caught up in this climate.
Well, I won't do the thinking for the people who are listening to me right now. I'll give our phone number out. It's 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
I want to tell everybody listening that the senior high school prank is a very traditional thing. You don't want to get kids feeling like they're bad people because they wanted to go out and have some fun. And let me explain something to you about swastikas, Phil. Nobody sees that as anything more than something that a kid spray paints on a wall. It's not what you say it is.
You don't still see that as a sign of hatred toward Jewish people or hatred toward humanity?
Absolutely. If you knew my son, you'd know exactly the great guy that he is. And I didn't want these Muslims to go wild. That's what we were trying to do. What I said was, do anything other than, because they wanted to put...
What did they want to write up there?
They wanted to write, Allah go, you know, Allah is great. Or so they wanted to make it look like a Muslim. I said, don't do that. You got to keep them out of it because they go wild on you
So they chose a swastika. Why?
Because World War II is a long time ago. Because it's everybody does it. Now you go down here. I can tell you, take you down the 405 field to the Cerritos Auto Mall, and right beyond there's a couple of walls back there that the kids are spray painting that stuff. And who knows why? Let me tell you this much though, Phil. And I know that listening to me tonight are a great many police agencies across the country. I donate a lot of money to the Beverly Hills Police Department. We've been a benefactor. We certainly are very grateful to their protection. And I would ask this question. My son has been arrested for vandalism. Okay, fine. Where does the fact that I've kicked in money over the years come in? When do we start talking about that?
Meaning what? Meaning that you have...
I've donated money to a lot of police charities. So when does that...
Are you asking that your son be allowed to walk free of this charge because his father is a benefactor or one of many benefactors, I'm sure, the Beverly Hills Police?
I'm not asking that he walk free of the charge. No, I think he should face the justice. What I'm simply saying is this. Where does the fact that I'm a fairly influential person in this community, when do we start talking about that? In other words, okay, so Josh spray-painted swastikas. Okay, I got it. And the paint's not, as far as I'm concerned, that's the vandalism. The paint doesn't wash off.
Well, it was not something that they thought about if they used paint that isn't washing off of a mural that was dedicated for victims of 9/11.
Well, you keep bringing up that 9/11 because that artificially manipulates the conversation. The fact is, the paint doesn't wash off. Why bring up 9/11?
Because it was a mural that was dedicated by the students to victims of 9/11.
I don't know that that's true. But again, let's get back to what I was saying. Remember, I'm Ted Bell. I own one of the biggest steakhouses in America. When does that start having some? When does that kick in?
When you say you're Ted Bell, when does that kick in? That means when will the police just look the other way on your son?
I'm not asking for any special favors, all right? But I think you know what I'm talking about. And I certainly know that there are many great, hardworking police officers across this country who can identify with what I'm talking about.
Meaning that the cops know that...
They know what I mean.
All right, 1-800-44... Where are you, in the bar right now?
We're at our restaurant, yeah.
I'm hearing piano playing.
Well, we just hired Jeff Sanderlin, who's a terrific singer, and he does a one-man band. He's got a tambourine. It's terrific.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Sharon, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, ma'am.
Hey, I'm calling to talk to the idiot you got on the air. I think this man...
Sharon, this is Ted Bell. I don't appreciate being called an idiot.
Well, that's all right.
I haven't called you a name.
Well, I don't teach my children to go and do what you do.
Well, we're not talking about you, are we? We're talking about a young man who went out and had some fun, and he's getting in trouble for simply... Look, where are you calling from, ma'am?
I'm calling from North Dakota.
Okay. You've got a lot of German-Americans living up there. Certainly you would have sympathy for a kid having some fun and spray-painting a swastika.
I have absolutely no sympathy whatsoever for your son. Are you?
You have a lot of... Don't you have a lot of Germans living up there?
I think your son has as little morals as you have, and that's because you raised him that way.
Wait a minute. What morals does my son not have? Remember, you're talking about my son. What, do you want to be spray-painting? You're spray-painting, so you'd rather Allah go home or something like that, because these Muslims will go wild on you.
I'd rather your son go and stop a pumpkin in half and throw it on the street or mark on a sidewalk with chalk that can be erased.
Well, What difference does it make?
Because the paint can't come off. The swastika is a hateful-looking thing. And
well, okay. Let's say he made a mistake. I know, Sharon, you live in North Dakota. I'm Ted Bell. All right? Sharon?
That's fine.
I'm Ted Bell.
I believe if your son made a mistake...
Let's sit and enjoy that for a moment. I'm Ted Bell. Let's just sit and kind of think about that, because I give a lot of money to the various police agencies.
Oh, well, I work for a police agency.
Well, then you know what I'm talking about.
And I don't think there's any police agency in North Dakota that would let your son off because you've paid them off.
I'm not paying anybody off. I'm donating money to help the different... I'm just saying I'm Ted Bell. I'm a prominent businessman.
Well, if I'm reading you right, Ted, you're saying because you have a very successful business in Beverly Hills, your son should be allowed to walk free of this charge.
I did not say that.
Well, then what are you bringing that up for?
Look,
I believe you have taught your son that it's all right to do things that he can do and not have to pay the consequences for it.
You people in North Dakota with the German blood that you have...
Will you get off of that, the fact that they're German-Americans in North Dakota, so the swastika ain't that bad?
Well, maybe it's not.
Hey, you know, I might be proud to be a German. I might be proud that my grandparents came from Russia.
When you say that you worked for a police agency in North Dakota, what, you got two cops?
Well, we might have three.
Barney and Andy?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding around.
See, there you are. See, right. I mean, you have no respect for the law anyway.
I love the police. I mean, when you say a police force, I didn't think we were talking about two guys falling asleep on a stool.
I'm talking about, I work for an Air Force institution where we have all kinds of races that come through there. And if I had to sit and say that I had to judge
It's not one, a high school prank. It's not an innocent high school prank, in other words, to spray paint a swastika. Now, the high school prank, and we'll take a break here, our number 1-800-449-8686. While a high school prank may be something, especially the senior high prank, may be something that seniors do, going back to the school and spray painting swastikas over an American flag mural dedicated to the victims of 9/11? And as far as he's concerned, that's preferable to writing, Allah is great because, quote, you don't want to do that, these Muslims will go wild, end quote. 1-800-449-8686. At what point does a man's prominence in a community, the fact that he owns a very, very prominent business, at what point should the police then say, well, you are a very prominent citizen, maybe we'll let your son get away with this one? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tats of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey everybody, this is Ted Bell from Tats of Beverly Hills. My son was arrested by Beverly Hills Police, but I don't want that to stop you from coming down to our steakhouse and enjoying the best lip smack and steak.
You ran out of time.
I'll
just say that the show is brought to you by Ted's Beverly Hills. Ted Bell is with us. His son painted swastikas on a wall. This is a harmless prank, is what you're saying.
It's called a senior class prank. Now, let me explain something to you about swastikas. First of all, most Americans are not familiar with what happened in World War II. We fought the Germans, they were bad, and they're gone now. The swastika was a symbol that they used. Well, now, kids put it on their book bags, girls get it tattooed on their arm. You see a lot of kids with it tattooed. And it's a lot of fun. And
I don't think it's a lot of fun.
Well, Phil, you're in the media and you're a history buff. Charles Manson had one on his head, for God's sake. It was a, you know, the guy was a flake. He was a nut. He was a complete nut. So when Josh went, I said, look, why don't you do this? Why don't you spray paint some swastikas? And because you don't want the Muslims to go ape on you. Once they get all over you going wild, then
you know, a lot of these comments about Muslims going wild on you sound a little insensitive, too.
See, that's just what I'm saying. We have got to get out of this politically correct climate that we're in. Now, I'm Ted Bell. I own it, and I've said that a number of times. I don't hear you reacting.
Well, I know you're Ted Bell. You have a great steakhouse.
Why is my son being incarcerated?
Let me go over to a phone call here. Susan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Mr. Bell.
Yes, ma'am.
Why are you insinuating that because you give money to the police that they need to show you a special favor? Now, you haven't really,
declared
what that means, I'd like you to do that.
No, I don't
I don't believe it works that way, Mr. Bell, so
I
would
don't
you explain
expect,
that to me?
I don't expect any favors from the police. I just am simply saying, look, my name's Ted Bell.
I understand who you are, but
right.
I don't. You keep saying I give
one of the
money
biggest...
to the police department.
I do.
And so
I contribute.
They need to know that I do that, and they know what I mean. What do you mean? You've never said that. What
I'm
do you mean,
to...
sir?
I think what the lady wants you to clarify.
No, I'm just saying. Look, I'm Ted Bell. What are you talking about?
Sir, are you using this as publicity
no, ma'am.
For your restaurant?
No, ma'am.
Because
ma'am,
you said
ma'am,
you said Bell about 50 times.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. I buy airtime on the Phil Hendry Show, but I'm saying, as a prominent business member in the Beverly Hills, California community, I would think that the police would eyeball that, take a good long look at that, before they make their decision as to whether they
Why,
want to take
sir?
This over to the DA.
Why, sir? Because they're afraid they're not going to get your money if they don't?
Are you
Be
saying,
specific.
Are you saying, Mr. Bell, that they owe you a favor?
No, I am not. I am not.
Are you saying that you should get a favor above people that don't donate money to the police?
No, sir, I'm not.
Then why?
Well, then be specific, please, sir. You keep bringing up the money issue and the police. Please,
I'm simply making a statement. I'm saying, okay, here are the facts as we know them, Susan. My son spray-painted swastikas on a school American flag mural. Okay.
I understand that.
Right.
What does that got to do with how much money you pay the police?
I'm just stating it as a fact as well. That's a fact. This is also a fact. I happen to be a prominent member of the Beverly Hills business community. I've donated a lot of money to the Beverly Hills police.
But
what is that supposed to do for you, sir?
I didn't say it's supposed to do anything for me.
Well, why do you keep bringing it up? How is this supposed to help your son, sir?
It's like a fact. It's like saying, you're Susan, I'm Ted Bell, he's Phil, I am influential. My son got arrested. Just things that I'm saying.
No.
Sir, this is
no,
not
no,
connecting.
No,
no. You're not connecting the dots. You're talking about your son being arrested for this fact. And
yes,
then you go
I
to the fact
unfair.
That you give the police money. How do you want us to put those two things together? Because it's not making sense at this point.
All I would say to you is this, that I was thinking about purchasing for the entire Beverly Hills Police Department bulletproof vests.
And how does this situation change your mind? Because they deserve the vest. How does this situation change your mind?
I didn't say that it changed my mind.
You're coming very short, Mr. Bell, of offering a bribe is what you're doing. Susan?
I resent that, Mr. Hendry. I absolutely resent.
Well, it's 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, everybody. This portion of the Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got slow-roasted venison steak. Oh, it's good. This weekend at Ted's.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your...
All right, we're talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills about his son, Josh, who was arrested for vandalism because the boy apparently spray-painted swastikas. You're calling it a school prank.
Look at Phil. All I'm saying is...
Let's get to what you were talking about. We'll get to some phone calls as well. You're Ted Bell. You were thinking about donating money for new bulletproof vests for the Beverly Hills Police.
That is correct. Look, let me just help you here, Phil, because...
I just don't know what that means.
Let me help you, because I think I know what's going on. The people that are calling your program don't seem to understand, in many ways, how it works in this country. I'm a prominent citizen, and what does being a prominent citizen mean? Okay, it means using your resources to help local police. it is certainly, every police officer understands that when you do that, you are a great citizen for doing that. What do the police do? They protect great citizens, and all citizens, but you want to really protect a great citizen, that's all. And
so you get special favors?
No, I do not.
Well, it's something's going on here where you're saying that.
But the, most of your listeners and the people that are calling tonight, they don't give money to the police. They don't help the police at all. So the logical question is then asked, if people like a lot of your callers tonight are not giving money to the police, and the police get a call from one of their houses, will you come over here and help me? A burglar's just broken in. A police officer's going to take a look at that and go, well, okay, I will go. It's my job, but I don't have to like it. Because the person that's calling is a cheap, you know, whatever you want to say.
I don't think cops know that. I don't think they even think about it.
It doesn't make any difference. They're going to go. They're going
to
go.
You said the cop's going to go out on the call, but he resents it because they didn't donate money to some policeman's ball?
I didn't say resents it. I said he doesn't have to like it.
So cops prefer to go on certain calls, and the calls they prefer to go on...
Look, Phil, you're beating this to death. My son is in jail because of a high school prank. Swastikas? My God, today we are battling the entire Turkish Ottoman Empire, and you're worried about whether I got some antiquated symbol that you can buy at a joke store. You know, half the swastikas you see today you can buy in the average joke shop. People pull them out at parties. Who cares?
Yeah, huh? That's what they do. Pull them out at parties. Let me go to Aurora. Hi, Aurora. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Yes, good evening, Phil. I just want to call... Hello?
Good evening, yes.
Yes, can you hear
Aurora,
me?
Yeah, Aurora, this is Ted Bell.
Yes, I think, Mr. Ted Bell, you, sir, I think you are a half-wit, okay?
I didn't understand that.
You are an idiot.
You have to watch your language or we got to hang up on you. You can't use that kind of language.
I am really just sick of him that keeps telling only poor people can get arrested because they don't get money. Yes, sir, I donate money to the police. Every month I send money to the state trooper. And don't tell me nobody gives money. I give money to the police. But I still obey the rules. I still follow the law. And you seem to be like, well, I donate money to the police. So I think should not be punished because you give money. No, I think that's what you're saying.
No, I did not.
So you give money to the police. That's why you have to, your son.
No, ma'am, I'm not saying that at all. I'm simply saying I'm Ted.
No, sir. That's what you are saying.
No, I'm not.
That's why you are saying. I don't care anyway how you look at it. That's what you are saying.
Okay, this much. You say you give money to the police. Well, what is that? What, you send them $2 in an envelope?
No, sir. Maybe I don't give a lot of money I do enough. I give enough money. I give enough money. But
are you paying cops off? Is that what you're doing?
Maybe your son is a good boy, but still he did something bad. He needs to be punished.
He sends cops money. He's probably sending him an envelope of cash.
He deserves it because he breaks the law. Do you understand that, mister, whatever you are?
Look, my name is Ted
Bell. You broke the law.
And I just would like some consideration for the fact that I was thinking about giving them bulletproof vests. But now, I may have to rethink.
Aha! Now you're admitting it. Now you're going to rethink giving them the bulletproof vests because the cats may bust your son.
Because the cats what?
You know what I'm trying to say.
Look, this woman here just off the boat from Lithuania is trying to tell me she sent a bundle of cash away from the local numbers game, and somehow that's a donation to the cops. Look, lady, if you're the bag woman for...
She didn't say she's a bag lady.
She says she's sending money in an envelope every month to the cops.
Hey, mister, whatever you are, you might have a business. I'm only a nurse. I'm an RN, okay?
A nun?
Maybe I don't give money as much as you do, sir, but you know what? I give money... So my son, I have a 17-year-old son that I told him, you obey the rules, you obey the law.
That's how it is.
We are poor, we're not as rich as you are, but you know, we have morals.
Let me ask you something. Are you Jewish?
No, sir.
I'm not a Jewish. I'm a Filipino. Well, then why do you care whether they're swastikas?
People, decent, civilized people, don't want to see swastikas.
Well, I don't get it.
No, you know what, sir?
Yeah, you're Ted.
Well, the police, whether we people give money to the police, that is the job.
You got to get control of your show, Phil. She's babbling on. Nobody can understand anything.
I'm listening to what she's saying.
Jesus, get control over your show.
Aurora,
I'm not controlling anybody. I'm just saying that the police, whether you give money or not, whether you help money or give money, they come to help people who need help.
Look at Ted. The lady is a citizen of this country trying to make a statement about working hard, sending what she can to the police, and you make a big deal out of buying them bulletproof vests, and you don't want any favors.
I don't.
Oh.
Well, no.
All right, Aurora. Thank you.
You need to get control of your show, Phil.
What are you, some kind of a freak? Thank you, Aurora. Some kind of a racist now?
No, sir. How dare you? I sponsor your show. I put a lot of money into your show. Call me a racist.
Well, what's with that cheeseburger crack? Here's Tammy. Tammy, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Am I speaking with Tom?
Right, this is Tom.
Your name? Tammy,
my name's Ted Bell.
I'm just calling to say that, to me, the symbol of a swastika has never represented anything other than 6 million dead Jews, and I see how,
Well, that was a long time ago. Look, all we're talking about is a couple of kids going out and having some fun.
Oh, wait a second.
A couple of kids going out and having some fun, spreading racism. You know, I brag about the diverse place I came from. I came from Southern California. You make me look bad. You make every white person on Earth look bad.
White?
That's the language, jeez.
You see what I'm talking about, Phil? You got this foul-mouthed white trash calling your show.
Let's let them, you know, people are angry with what you're doing.
Wait a second. That's the second woman in a row to drop the MF bomb on your show, and you're coming down on me? They're dusting off the hot seat for me, and all I've tried to do is save my son.
And you buying vests for the Beverly Hills Police ain't got nothing whatsoever to do with it.
Got talk much?
I'm trying to get out. I'm flustered, man. Perry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Perry? Perry gone? Okay. Ted will be back, but I will say this. Until you make a statement that is clearly indicating what you mean when you say you're giving out vests...
Excuse me a minute. Hold on. Sergeant Tamer? Sergeant Tamer just walked in. I need to get him the VIP chamber.
Well, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Love, finest in the blue. Love the cops. Anyway, what were you saying?
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Laura, go ahead, Laura. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
This gentleman, now, I don't know what his name is.
My name's
and
Ted
I
Bell.
Really don't care to I'm know Ted. What this gentleman's name is.
I'm Ted Bell.
His son deserves to be punished the fullest extent of the law. He deserves no special favors any way, shape, or form. I live in this state. I am totally ashamed to even have you be in the same state that
well,
I live
you're,
in.
You're totally getting
how,
it wrong.
How
my son is not a racist.
Even
my son
insinuate and imply
kicks.
That the Beverly Hills Police Department owes
and
you or your
Ted.
Son anything is beyond me. You don't
what
deserve
do
anything.
Get nuts about?
You are an absolute moron.
Let me jump in
moron.
Here.
A moron. No, I am not going to let you say anything.
This is Phil Henry. I'm the host of the show.
Well, she doesn't know the difference between your
you
voice or mine.
No, I'm the host. Hold on.
Any?
I'm the host. I'm the host talking.
I'm sorry.
Hold on.
I'm
it's
sorry.
Okay.
She thinks you sound just like me.
I
that's
am
all right.
So
she's
upset.
Hold on, Laura. I want to say this. Ted, do you agree that your son, by spray painting swastikas, it could have been read by a lot of people as a very hateful thing?
A lot of nervous people might take it that way, yeah.
A lot of nervous people.
A lot of you are nervous now. A lot of the older people, like this lady, senior citizens. But what I'm trying to say is this.
I am not a senior citizen, sir. I am not a senior citizen. I'm probably a hell of a lot younger than you are.
All right, Laura, hold
the
line.
But you know
what?
I have
Phil
a
Henry.
Lot more brains than you
right.
do.
Right, Laura, hold on. We're
going
to take a break, but I want you to hold on because you've got a lot to say.
Oh, boy.
Will you hold on?
Yes, I will.
All right, Laura, hold the line, and we'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show. We clear? Get Ted on the line, please. Ted?
Yeah, Bill.
I want you to have a little more respect for my callers.
Well, this old bag that you got on right now.
But what I'm asking you to do... How much time? 30 seconds?
We're going to close early tonight, Candy. The old bag that you got on right now is...
The lady is not... first of all,
come
she's
back,
trying
no.
to make a... We got to come back, okay?
Well, get rid of her. Let's get some young... I think what you need to do in your program is get some young chicks, not some old bag.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Go ahead, Laurie. You're back on.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not an old bag. In fact, I'm a lot younger than this gentleman, and I can at least give him some respect.
Who called you an old bag?
Wait, what's his name again? Let's see. They only said it 600 times. Mr. Ted Bao.
Well,
you know what? I hope that a lot of people
Ted
in California will be listening to this and not even visit his steakhouse, because everyone that I know, and I live on the Central Coast.
Laura, you're not going to be getting down to Beverly Hills anytime soon. And I can tell you this, once you slip a piece of Ted's of Beverly Hills
steak in between your lips. No, never. Never will I eat at your restaurant. You know, we're losing the point here. Because
right, and the point is that I'm Ted Bell, and I was going to give some bulletproof vests, and I may still give bulletproof vests.
Your son committed
a crime. But I'm getting pissed off.
Yes, your son committed a crime.
You do not deserve any special favors whatsoever because your son committed a crime.
Now, you live on the Central Coast. What you guys got up there for a steakhouse?
You know what?
What are we talking about? Outback? I'm talking about some of the juicy meat.
Your son committed a crime.
Very good point. And Ted, you need to teach this kid.
She doesn't. She thinks it's me talking, not you.
He doesn't deserve any favors.
All right, Laura, thank you. I would say, Ted, that you need to get that boy under control.
Well, what if I could get Beverly Hills to drop the charge because I'm Ted Bell?
Well, then good for you.
All right, I'll try that first, then I'll try being a father second. How about that?
No, there you go. There's a plan. Ted Bell on The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Senior pranks. They're out there, baby. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat and slide off. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up next hour, Don Parsley, a victim of abuse at the hands of American soldiers, he claims. We'll talk to him coming up next hour. From our show yesterday, Margaret Gray, a nationally syndicated columnist, was talking about how American athletes must come into the stadium in Athens in the Olympics this summer looking respectful with their heads bowed. A caller named Judy said Margaret's out of her mind.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, I just don't even know what rock this woman crawled out of.
I beg your pardon.
You crawled out from under a rock, lady. I've listened to your garbage for the last 20 minutes. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the real world out here.
Why don't you tell me how many friends you have?
Now, why don't you shut up? You spouted your garbage for the last 20 minutes. Now, I'm going to clue you in as to the real world, okay? I'm a 50-year-old woman. I was stationed in Germany for a year. Nobody looked bad on me. You know why they did? Because we protected them. We have protected a quarter or a third of this world. I spent 3 weeks
in
Egypt.
Why don't you shut up and listen to someone else? Well,
you
I won't
just want to listen to your own left-wing, hate America.
And to have you tell me to shut up, I find that very untoward.
Well, you know what?
Let the lady finish.
I that you would dare interrupt me. It's not your program. It's his program.
Well,
he's letting me speak.
I want the lady
who's calling in to speak.
I'm a guest also. You're a caller. I'm a guest.
Look, I want Judy to talk. Then you may respond, Ms. Gray, if it's all the same to you. I want to get my callers and my guests.
Well, I have never been treated like this before.
Oh, come on, will you? Let the lady say what she's going to say.
I don't believe she's never been treated this way before, because with her anti-American garbage, I listened to her in the beginning, and when she stepped out with this, your little Bush, that told me right then and right there what her agenda is. And when you mentioned Michael Moore, she turned around, so I know where she stands. This is all political. This is hate Bush, hate America, hate war. And I'll tell you something.
You know, I find it interesting that you got along with Germans.
Do not interrupt me.
Not too long ago, Germans had the same mindset.
You are so rude. You don't listen to anyone. You just want to hear your own mouth and your own garbage.
Let her finish.
I work
I think
closely
very rude to me.
With a lot. Well, I would be rude to somebody, but as Dr. Laura says, I don't need to be kind to someone who's being rude to me
my God. I happen to know Laura Schlesinger, and she would never say anything like that. I don't think she would keep company
then
with
you
a woman
know what?
Like you.
She wouldn't keep company
well,
with
you just
you
let
for
Judy.
The anti-American garbage that you're putting out here.
Judy,
you
please.
Are no American.
I'm going to give Judy 30 seconds to say what she wants to say. Go ahead, Judy.
Okay.
Are you telling me you're going to put me on hold?
Yes, I'm putting you on hold. Go ahead, Judy.
Thank you. Okay, I will get to the point about the Olympics. And my point is that we should not go with our hands behind our back. We should not go with our heads held down. We are that is a sign of being ashamed of what we're doing. And we have nothing to be ashamed for. And I'll tell you what, I'll give her the name and phone number of the Iraqi people that bought my parents' house 15 years ago who are still missing and cannot find their uncles and their brothers because they disappeared. So you tell me when those people over there are getting schools, roads, homes, a life, that they're not being tortured. And don't start on this torture stuff, because torture by the stuff that they did is no means torture. Because I'll tell you what, you ask any Iraqi which person they'd rather have to be tortured, Saddam or those Americans, and they'll tell you.
All right. Margaret, your response?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening to...
Well, there you go.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Margaret was buying a two-pound box, or a I think it was a three-pound box of C's. All right, we got Don Parsley, an American citizen who was working for Halliburton. He claims he was abused. He, an American citizen, was abused by American soldiers while working in Iraq. We'll hear his tale coming up, and it may just be that, a big, fat, long yarn. We'll hear that coming up in a moment on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our souvenir shop. You can get all your Phil Hendry crap right there, our unique 16-can cooler with a built-in AM-FM radio. And the price on this baby, how much is this, man? Oh, I don't know. Go to our website. This is perfect for Father's Day. Perfect. Also, for Mom, we got the garden set. And for the lady in your life, the I Love Phil t-shirt. It's in our souvenir shop at www.philhendryshow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
I want to ask our guests first up, Mr. Parsley, my understanding is Chris told me you are in the Angeles National Forest.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing there?
I'm basically camping here right now for the short term with my two daughters and my wife.
Are you homeless?
Pretty much, yeah.
You were in Iraq, and you were detained by American soldiers. I want to hear your story, and I know that there are a lot of people out there who want to hear this story. You claim that you were abused. First of all, tell me how it was you came to be in Iraq, and what happened there.
Yes, sir. I was in Iraq working for Halliburton as an engineer, and I was detained by American soldiers on April 1st. I was held for 48 hours in the detention center in Baghdad.
What happened there?
Nothing that I really want to think about. I was stripped. I was at times tied to a chair. Other times I was walked around in front of other people. I was put in a room with other men who'd been stripped naked. They put a bag on me. They pushed me. It was humiliating.
Why were you detained?
I don't know. To this day, I don't know why. I was in Baghdad. I was walking down the street there, and the soldiers just came up and said, "You're under arrest." They thought that I had some kind of connection, I guess, to terrorists or something. They asked me for my identification. I showed it to them.
You proved you were an American citizen?
Yes, sir, I did.
Any idea why they would pick up an American and treat him this way?
Well, that's just the way it's going on over there. I mean, it's been on in all the news. Maybe if you've been reading about it, that's the way the soldiers are treating people. They're just beating them up. And as soon as I got back, I was released, and I came back immediately. And I tried to get therapy because I was having a hard time sleeping as a result of it.
Are you currently getting some kind of therapy, some kind of psychological help?
No, sir, I'm not. Because my insurance won't cover it. I was went over to mental health over here in Santa Monica, but My insurance won't cover it.
What did the insurance tell you why?
They said they won't pay for it.
You could sue the United States military. You're aware of that?
Yes, sir. I am.
Why won't you do that?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that that takes a lot of time, and I've got two little girls right now. I mean,
you're basically homeless.
Yeah. I mean, the money that I did have, I paid for therapy. I'm just trying to keep my children clothed and fed. That's all. They lost their mother to cancer last year. And
I'm very sorry to hear that, sir.
Oh, thank you. But I guess the reason I call is just to let people know that the soldiers are they're doing it, you know, they're doing it bad. And I want everyone to know that the stories are not false.
Did you see, sir, any murder, any rape, anything like that? Were you interviewed by this commission?
I can't say that I saw any of that, but it was pretty bad. They were beating people up and everything.
When you were in Iraq, by the way, where were your girls?
They were staying with their mother at the time.
Okay. I'm talking with Don Parsley. He was in Iraq working as a subcontractor. He was detained by Iraqi... Were you detained by soldiers or Iraqi police?
I was stopped by Iraqi police while I was on the job, and that's when they had a sweep of the area. And
they didn't tell you why they arrested you?
They said that they thought that I was... Or could be a you know, undocumented foreign national. I told them I was an American.
And you had a passport?
I had a passport, but they thought that it could have been a counterfeit.
And why have you come forward now, Don, as opposed to, say, several months ago when the Army commenced its investigation?
I tried to put it out of my mind for the longest time, but when I heard it reported on the news, I started having... like remembrances of it, and I was like flashing back on it. I had a hard time sleeping.
All right, Don, hold on for a minute. Our number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Don Parsley. Mr. Parsley was in Iraq. He was working as a subcontractor for a major American corporation when he was detained by Iraqi police and was subsequently subjected to the kinds of humiliation and abuse we've been hearing an awful lot about. I will say to you, Mr. Parsley, that it's not right that anybody be treated this way, but certainly not an American citizen. Did you see other Americans there?
I did. I mean, it's hard to know whether they're American, but I spoke to one guy who, he was an American. I know he was an American. And
did he tell you his story?
No, he was just stripped down like all of us. And I didn't even want to talk to him, but I could tell when he talked, he had an American accent. And they took his clothes off and everything. And they did all that.
Likely, all right, so they stripped you down and paraded you around. Did they take pictures of you?
I'm pretty sure they did, yeah. They took pictures of us. They laughed at us and everything. They pointed at us and laughed. There was a girl there who was an MP. She was laughing. She was smoking a cigarette. And it was probably that girl they saw in a picture. I'm pretty sure it was the same girl, too. That they saw in the pictures.
We're talking about Lindy England. Are you saying that you saw Lindy England? She was laughing at you?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was her. So she was short, and she had short hair. And I guess the reason why I called your show is just to say that I want people to know what's going on and everything.
The fact that you're homeless, the fact that you do not have any money to support your children, when you... you're sitting in around a campfire. This is a tragedy. I mean,
it's very hard.
Have you been able to receive any assistance from the U.S. government, knowing what you've been through? Have you been able to receive any assistance from Child Protective Service? You know, aid to families with dependent children. Have you applied?
Well, all that stuff. You got to go through so much red tape and bureaucracy. I would think that the American, you know, government, after the abuse they put me through, would do something like that, but they haven't given me any money or anything. And
if we were able to get some money together so that you can at least feed your children, and if we were able to put some money together so that you could at least seek some therapy, are you saying you're suffering from some kind of post-traumatic stress?
Yeah, that's whatever. I'm pretty sure I've got, you know, stress from it. And but I know I don't want any money. I'm not here to get money. I'm just here to warn people that if you are in Iraq for whatever reason, to stay away from the soldiers. I mean, I read where a lot of, you know, Sean Penn, you said, was over there, and a lot of people go over there. I'm surprised they do the same thing to him because he's against the war and everything.
Have you been to a doctor?
Well, like I said, the doctors won't pay for treating me for post-stress syndrome, so I don't know what I'm going to do if I had some money. But
that's what I'm saying. I'm probably sure we could get some kind of a fund.
No, I don't want any charity. I'm not. The one thing about me is I don't like charity. I'm just my family, we've never believed in it. I'm just here to help put anyone out there who's been humiliated by the American troops and made to strip down and don't want to come forward to come forward. So if there's people out there, but I mean, if you say if I need money, I do need money, but I'm not about taking charity. I just want to feed my children. That's all. I don't care about myself.
You're living homeless in the Angeles National Forest as the result of you've lost your job. Are you able to work?
No, I can't work because of the humiliation the abuse that I was put through by the soldiers. I think back on when they took my clothes off, when they laughed at me. They did things to me that I don't even want to talk about. But I don't care about myself. I just want to feed my children. If I only could find a way.
But I would like to at least help you do that, Mr. Parsley, to get some money for you.
I would only take money for my kids. I don't want any for myself. And for my wife, too. She's sick with cancer. And my boys have always looked up to me. I've never been able to talk to my boys about how I was stripped and made, you know, laughed at and hit. They hit me and everything.
Well, okay, that's a start. If we can raise some money for your kids, would you take that?
Only for my children, that's all. I just want to get them something to eat. I mean, right now we're eating. We got some canned goods from some people, you know, some canned corn, got some canned artichokes and things like that. I don't know if that's anything for a child to eat, though. I would take money only for my kids, but not for me. And for my wife, she's dying she has... You know, it's a big long name. I can't remember. The doctor told me about it.
Your wife is terminally ill.
She is terminally ill. Right.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. There's the story from a man who. The tough part for me is to hear an American talk about being abused by other Americans. A man who is a civilian and who has children that he's trying to feed. That's the tough part for me. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. His name, Don Parsley. His experience, well, one that I don't think any of us should go through. He was abused, he says, by American troops in Iraq after he was detained for 48 hours in a sweep of Baghdad. He was there working as a subcontractor for a corporation. And now he's back in the United States, homeless and without a job and any money because the trauma of that experience has caused it very difficult for him to maintain work. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back here on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The epitome of radio.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Soup's getting hot.
Mr. Parsley, it's Phil Hendry?
Yes, sir.
We're talking with Don Parsley. He was in Iraq. He claims detention by American troops and abuse at the hands of American troops. You told me off the air that you did see the Reuters reporters and the NBC journalist being abused?
Yeah, I did. I'm pretty sure I saw them. They were there and they talked about how they were forced to put their fingers in their, you know. One guy said he had to put his finger in that, you know.
I know, up his rear end, right?
Yeah. And he told me all about it and I was told he had to sniff it or something. I was in the same cell with a lot of those guys. It was humiliating. All they did was, all day long, they just put us on dog leashes and walk us around like we were dogs, basically. feed us out of bowls. And we had to go to the bathroom outside. We lived the life of a dog. I mean, slept in a... They made up these small dog houses. Made us go act like dogs. At one point, they told one of us to go and get the paper. And the guy went outside, got the paper, had to bring it in his teeth.
So put you on leashes, made you act exactly like dogs.
Yeah.
1-800-449-8686. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Tom, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. To that gentleman, if they done this to you, you can get a lawyer free of charge, sue the military.
Right. But yeah, that's going to take a long time. Right now, my kids are eating out of a soup can and everything.
Well, you can... If you get the lawyer, they can have you in the court within 20 days.
Right.
Sue them.
How much do you think I do want to sue them.
That was my advice. Sue the United States military and get money, get relief there.
Definitely.
I don't know what I'm going to do until then. I need money for my kids until then, you know.
You can get, go to the welfare.
Yeah, but.
And they're supposed to help you.
I'm trying to get together some money right now.
Well, I said we could raise some money for you.
I don't want any charity from, you know, I mean, I will. I'll take money if you've got any money to, for my kids, I will. I mean, is this guy calling in because he wants to give me money or?
Tom, did you have a donation to make?
I want your address, and I will send money to you.
Well, that's
because I'm a Vietnam veteran.
That's going to take a few days. Okay, do you have any money I could have now? Or?
No.
Well, I can't send you no money right now.
How does he send you money right now?
Well, you mean, okay, well, I live, right now I'm living in the forest. I mean,
Where's the nearest post office?
You'd have to address it to the Angeles National Forest, I guess. And I don't know if they have mail delivery in here.
Well, where's the nearest post office?
Probably down in Flint Ridge or La Cañada, someplace like that. I don't know. It sounds... I mean, are you serious about giving me money?
Yeah.
Can you tell me how...
Those babies need to be taken care of.
Yes, sir. Can you tell me how much?
No, I can't.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Well,
the guy's going to give me money. Can't I know how much it is?
I have no idea yet. I got to sit down with my family and figure it out.
Let me tell you this. Anything under $20, you can just keep it because I...
Well, hold on, Mr. Parsley.
I don't want to sound ungrateful, but it's stupid to send me...
Wait, under $20, keep it?
I got to get my kids money. I mean, I got to get them food. You know, my sons are they're dying.
Well, if you're...
I don't know what I'm going to do.
If your son's dying, you can get emergency help.
Can you send any money
from the Red Cross
now, or?
And everything?
Yeah. Can you send money to the forest now, or?
How does he send
money?
Give
me an address.
Angeles National Forest.
You can't address it to Angeles National Forest. It's not going to work that way. Can you give me? How about you know what you do, Tom? Send it to Phil Hendry.
Well, no, hold on for a second here.
No, I'm going to hold it for Phil Hendry at Premier Radio Networks, Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
And you're a very kind man.
Well, I don't... What's that got to do with me? You're...
What I can do, sir, is at the meantime, I can hold on to the money for you.
Well, that's no good. That's not going to work.
Don't worry about it, Tom. If you are generous enough, we would appreciate it. Thank you, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over to Ted. Ted, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Parsley.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hey, I won't call this guy a liar. He's changed
what?
His story about his wife three times in the time he's been talking to you guys.
No, sir.
Yes, you did. First you said she died, that your kids stayed with your mom when he's over there. Because your wife died.
No. They stayed with my mother, okay? That's not my wife. That's my mother.
No. You said that your wife died. That's the reason they
kids did.
Staying with your mom. And
that's right. My wife's dead.
Now, see, then you said that your wife was terminally ill. Now you're saying that she's dead. You don't know whether she's dead or alive, buddy.
Sir.
I think you're a fraud.
Sir. My
I
wife
think
died.
You're a fraud, man.
Sir, my wife died a year ago. Yeah, she was terminally ill before she died.
That ain't what you said, though, you dumb sucker.
Hey, I'm the one who's living in a forest.
I don't believe that either. I think you're a fraud.
Ted, can I jump in? This is Phil Henry. What the story that you are telling here, Mr. Parsley, you were... We know you were detained by U.S. troops.
Yes. How can you let this guy call me a liar?
You are a liar, man, because you, like I said, you ain't even telling the truth about your wife.
Okay.
How in the world do you expect me to believe that you're living and all this crap happened to you?
Can you hear the crickets? I'm in a forest right now.
Well, I can hear the crickets. What I want to do is establish, is your wife alive?
No.
Did your children stay with her when you were in Iraq?
No, they stayed with my I forget who I...
You said they stayed with your mother.
Yes, my mother.
But okay. That ain't what you said. You said that your wife had died, and
I said my mother had died. My wife was terminally ill.
If your mother had died, who were the kids staying with?
The kids were staying with my mom. What I'm trying to say is this. I was in Iraq. You got to understand, the communication with America was non-existent. I'm in a jail cell, okay? I'm in a prison.
That's where you need to be, buddy.
Hey, you know what? Okay. Obviously,
I think you need to be in jail cell. I think the cops need to come pick you up right now because
obviously you don't have no kids.
People out of their money.
Obviously, you don't have no kids.
Oh, yeah, dude.
If you had kids, you'd know.
I got kids. I got grandkids, buddy.
Okay. Are you going to let them start?
I sure hell ain't going to stand around and lie. To get money for somebody just to...
Well, let me get to the... cut to the...
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, now, Don, I want you to come on and tell my audience what you have told us during the break. And this is the first-person account that I've heard. Don Parsley is with us. He was in an Iraqi prison abused by American soldiers for 48 hours. Do you now claim that you were raped?
Yes, sir, I was sodomized.
Can you tell me... I don't want to ask you anything more in detail. What did they use?
They used some kind of a exercise. It was an exercise. It was a long exercise device, very much like a pogo stick.
Something that looked like a pogo stick?
Yes, sir.
And you are claiming that these American soldiers sodomized you with this pogo stick, correct?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, 1-800-449, this is the first... Have you told this story to the... You have to tell this story to the military.
I want to tell the military everything, but right now I just need... I need to get something to eat for my wife. I need to get something to eat. I'm living up here in the desert, and tomorrow it's going to get really hot. There's hardly any shade for us. I just don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, we're going to try and that gentleman's going to send you some money.
Yeah, but he didn't say how much. And what about the other guy that I just talked to?
I'm sorry?
What about the man I just talked to?
He hung up.
Okay, did he say he was given money?
No, sir, he did not.
Jesus.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Danielle, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just wanted to say, I thought I heard your story change again. Something about your mom died wife died before. I don't understand.
No, ma'am. I was very clear.
No, you said your mom died.
My mom died, and my wife is hungry. My daughters are hungry. I'm just trying to raise money for them.
You said that your wife had died in the first, and now you're saying that your mom died.
Ma'am.
And your mom was supposedly the one taking care of your kids, right? And she
my mom,
dead.
Yeah,
so
she
I don't
died
understand
after
how that works.
She died. After she took, when I got back from Iraq, she died.
Oh, okay. And another thing I don't understand is how come you're being so rude to these people who are at, who are offering you money and you're, you won't take it even if it's less than $20? What kind of, what is that about?
Only one guy offered money and I just said, look, if it's under $20, just, you know, don't, I don't want to trouble the man. I need to feed two girls and
you keep bitching about people.
And
you wanting people to give you money, and then you're turning down something.
$20
enough for you? I don't understand.
Yeah. Even $20,
really,
Don. Even $20, Don, would be good.
It's, I think. It's
your kids are dying. You're right. $20 is a lot when you don't have anything. So I don't understand how you would, why you would turn something like that away.
I think it's a little insulting to offer like $20 to. I was raped by soldiers.
Well, that's very unfortunate, and I'm sorry for you if that actually happened, but I'm having a hard time believing your story because I've heard it change at least three times now.
Okay, fine. Great. I mean, I hope you're never raped with a pogo stick or any kind of, you know, I mean, it was the most humiliating thing of my life.
And like I said, if something like that happened and I'm wrong, then I'm, you know, I'm sorry, but...
I don't understand. Look, I want to jump in here. This is Phil Henry. You were raped with a pogo stick. You say it...
Well, yeah, something like that. Some guys were jumping up and down on it and everything.
Oh.
All right, and these were American soldiers.
Why is everybody asking me questions? I've suffered. Everybody cares about Iraqis when they get raped. No one cares about me. Thanks a lot. I'm an American. I just want to tell this lady that. I'm an American. I'm not no Iraqi.
Well, I kind of figured that.
Okay. And all I'm asking you is how much money you're going to give.
I'm not going to give you any money because where's my proof that you're not lying?
Ma'am, I'm not...
I mean...
Do you think I would lie about this?
I don't know.
Well...
A lot of people lie about things to get money.
Let me ask the question. I think where people are confused. Do you have two girls or two boys?
I said I have...
Kids.
I have two boys.
All right.
Okay, so
and
you take care of those kids with whatever...
I don't have anything. I'm at a campfire right now. I just cooked the last of the Hungry Man soup. I had a can of Campbell's Hungry Man soup. I can't. The soldiers made me refer to myself as sweetheart. They degraded me.
All right, but I want to get back. Is your mother dead or your wife dead?
My wife is dead.
But you said your mom was dead.
You said your mom was dead.
She is. Yes, sir. My mom is dead.
So we just asked you which one was dead, and now you're saying your wife's dead, and
my mom and my wife are
both
dead. They're both dead. Yes.
Okay, they're both dead. All right, Danielle. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. And I'll go over here to Neva. Neva, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
All right. Now, you know, I hear what everybody's saying. How would a man put all this on radio?
Could I ask a question, Mr. Henry?
If it weren't true.
Why, was that lady going to donate money?
The last lady?
Yeah.
I guess not.
What am I wasting my time for? Jesus.
You know...
Let Neva talk. Go ahead, Neva.
Let me talk. I'll tell you something, Dan.
Wasting my time.
My heart goes out to you.
Thank you.
I realize that you're very confused. I can appreciate that.
Yes,
and maybe you are saying something twice wrong or something.
Yeah.
And I really mean it. I feel bad, and if you were lying, you would hear from it from the service. You couldn't get away with talking like this and not be true.
Exactly.
I really believe you.
Exactly. Thank you.
And
now, can we get to the point here? Do you have money?
Do I
Wait
have
Wait a minute.
Money?
The lady's talking here.
Well, do I got to listen to what she's saying?
I want to hear what the lady has to say. Yes.
No, you don't have to listen to me. Yeah, my prayers are with you.
Can
but
you send me some?
You are...
How much?
Changing your mind to a point where...
No, ma'am.
If everybody that heard you like I do...
What did I say?
And they heard you... And if everyone sent you $20... You would get maybe over $500 from it.
Ma'am, they made me wear a mop wig. They gave me dance like a ballerina.
I understand.
Okay, have you got
but
it?
If someone
you jollies hearing all this stuff.
Isn't it better to get $20 from 50 people than nothing
yes.
at all?
That's a good point, Neva. What about that?
Okay, how about if Neva starts things off with a clean, crisp C note?
With a plain C note?
A C note, yes, ma'am.
Oh, honey, you don't know how times are. I'm a woman at 80 years old.
Oh, here we go.
I live on.
What do you mean, here we go?
No, I don't want any money.
Fixed income story.
You, when you tell me how much to send you, it's insulting.
Oh,
but if you know, when you started, I think you'd have got 60 people putting money immediately in the bank.
What have I done?
But you spoiled it by, you don't want us to hear.
I would play my violin for you, but the soldiers broke it.
Well, all right.
All right,
then I try to appreciate what you're doing, but evidently all you want now is the money. No,
ma'am,
compensation, nothing, because we heard
you. Sure, yeah. What do you want? How do you like the Dodgers this year?
I still feel sorry for you, and I still will pray for you.
You're a very kind lady, Neva. This is Phil Hendry, and you're very generous. And
I'll talk to her. What does she want to talk about?
Well, why did you ask her?
No, no.
Neva, what do you want to talk about?
I don't.
You like the Angels this year?
No. If this is how you feel, that you've got to tell people what they have to give you.
No, I'm just saying.
But you're a fool, because you know how many... You broke my heart when you started. You know how many people would have sent you money?
For $20 an hour, Neva, I'll talk as long as you like. What's your credit card number? How about that? I mean, God, what do you want me to do?
For someone who doesn't want money for himself, you're insulting everybody that...
Are you sure you don't want...
I don't want charity. I just want to feed my wife and kids.
You had no wife. You said she died.
I said my...
Your mother died.
You said that your wife. You said that your wife died.
No, sir.
This is what's spoiling
my mother
and father. I figured maybe
mother and father died.
Your mother and father died.
Oh, all right. I give up.
No, ma'am. Ma'am, all I'm saying, send me $100 and let's knock this off. You're asking me questions that are making no sense at all.
Oh.
Is your mother alive? Is your father dead?
I never asked you that.
You're asking me about my kids, personal things?
No, I do not.
You
want to
know how I was raped with a pogo stick? You're asking me details of that?
No, she's not.
I am not.
Right, well, then just send me $100, will you?
I was trying to tell you, take what you can get, and
all
by
right.
God, you'd get plenty if you'd let them give them what they can afford.
Okay, I'll take what I can get. How much are you sending?
I am not sending anything.
Oh, my God. After I went ahead.
You did it. I'm sorry.
What did I do?
Mr. Parsley, Parsley, coming on here and giving us this tale of woe, you mentioned that you have, do you have daughters or sons?
I have two daughters in the name of everything holy. I already told you that.
Okay.
I've got five great-grandchildren.
So?
That part's concerned.
What's that got to
that
do with me?
That means nothing.
All right. Do you have a mother, a wife, a son? What do you got?
What are you talking about?
Is your wife alive?
I'm not asking you that question.
My wife's dead.
Well, I never asked you that question.
Are you Phil Hendry? God, did you get old all of a sudden?
I'm Phil Hendry, okay? Now, do you have a wife, or do you have a mother, or what do you got?
Well, obviously I had a mother, else I couldn't have been born.
Is she alive?
Yeah.
Where does she live?
Newport Beach.
Why don't you go down there and live with her?
She died. I just got the news tonight.
You just got the news tonight in Angeles National Forest that your mother's dead.
Yes, sir, and it came as a shock.
I'll bet it came as a shock after getting raped with a pogo stick.
So are you sending me some money?
Sure, I'll send you some dough, pal. How much do you want?
Can you send, $1 million or something?
Yes, I'll send $1 million to Don Parsley, care of the forest. I'm sure the squirrels will bring it to you.
By the way, isn't the cell phone reception good in the Angeles National Forest? My hat's off to Sprint.
Yeah, okay. Can you send me $1 million? Sure. 1-800-449-86. That guy wasn't in an Iraqi prison. He was never raped with a pogo stick or anything else. Some cat that's trying to scam some dough so that he can... You know, there's always one guy, man. On the tail end of any tragedy, any national scandal, there's always somebody trying to make a buck. When are we getting paid? Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Shock and awe meets your radio dial. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tomorrow night we are going to have survivors of abuse at the hands of Michael Moore. How he paraded them around naked, dressed as food. And it's disgusting. It's frightening. How he made them parade around looking like bits of food from his beard. 1-800-449-86. I'm kidding around there, Michael. Good for you, man. You made another phony baloney movie. Hey, it's satire, baby. Don't they get it? They don't understand. You're a funny guy. You're a humorist, aren't you, huh? Funny how when you build yourself as someone who is funny and no one thinks you are, you got a problem there, Michael. You need to work on that, dude. Everybody thinks you're a serious documentarian. You need to keep telling them, I'm funny, I'm funny, I'm funny, I'm satire, I'm satire, it's satire. It's, you know, like satire. You're going to have to spell it for a few of them, but I'm sure people will get the point in another 10 years. But in the meantime, enjoy the ride, buddy. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And now it's time for the Phil Hendry Show, infrequent but frequent enough movie review. Van Helsing blows. Thank you. Now, moving on. According to our reporter, Chris Pelton, Van Helsing sucks on wheels, friends. Jesus. What is it with you cats? You take a good story. The day they invented CGI and the ability to morph some cat into a werewolf, it's all about that, man. Forget about any kind of a story. I was so looking forward to that flick, and then Pelton gave it the big thumbs down. Now I ain't even going to go anywhere near a theater that's showing it. What are you going to go see, Man on Fire tomorrow? Go see that.
Man on Fire.
And then I want to go see the new, you know what I want to see? What's Quentin Tarantino, the new Bond flick?
That's the rumor he's going to be doing the new
Bond
flick.
And the new Batman movie's going to be solid. Gary Oldman, my main man, is going to play Inspector Gordon, not Commissioner Gordon, because it tells the story of how Batman first started out, when Commissioner Gordon was Inspector Gordon. And also Catwoman with Halle Berry. Boy, is she gorgeous. Also, New York Minute with the Olsen twins. I got to see that. By the way, that thing kind of stiffed. What is this? My kids are totally with the Olsen twins, only because they grew up with them, and I'm not really familiar with their whole act, other than the fact that now I get it, now that they're like 17 or whatever, I totally get why my sons are looking like that wolf in all those cartoons. You know, the eyeballs coming out. So that's going to be a beautiful thing, but I don't know what to see, man. Van Helsing, I was looking forward to that. What a turd. They got to lay a turd on you every so often. How can you blow a story like that? First of all, Van Helsing, if you read the original Dracula, let's go back to the beginning, shall we? That's the problem. Most people don't start at the start. If you read the original Dracula, Van Helsing was the doctor who was brought in, who had some experience with vampires. And he knew what was wrong with Lucy, and he knew what was wrong with Mina, and he knew that this was a vampire, baby, a vampire. And he was the cat that whipped out the garlic, the crucifix, and a number of other aids to battling vampires. In the original film, he was played by some cool-looking old guy with those cool-looking wire-rimmed glasses. I don't know who the actor was, but he was out of sight. Count Dracula, I presume. Dr. Van Helsing. You know, so these two guys, they stare each other. And Van Helsing's will was so strong that even Dracula couldn't bust through, you know. So Van Helsing just, like, shot up the cross, and Dracula freaked out. Now, this is the beginning of a very interesting tale. It was refined later on by Anthony Hopkins in the movie Bram Stoker's Dracula by Francis Ford Coppola, which had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with Bram Stoker's Dracula. What are you, insane, Coppola? Why don't you take a tip from your daughter? Yeah, is it his daughter? Learn how to make movies like her, man, because she kicks ass. Now, that also had our brother Gary Oldman. However, poor Gary was saddled with this idiotic story about how Dracula could walk around in daylight. What's that about? Everybody, that blows everything to pieces. If there's one thing that's cool about Dracula, he can't walk around in the daytime, man. To have that cat walking around in the daytime screws everything up. But Hopkins played Van Helsing in that, and he was great, and he had this scar running down his face, like he had some badass battle with a vampire at one point, right? One thing about vampires, they gotta bite you and it's bad, but if they scratch you, no rabies, no nothing. He recovered nicely. You imagine those guys, if they suck the blood out of you, they turn you into a vampire, but they got no rabies. There's no rabid vampires. You'd figure at least if you got into a fist fight with a vampire, you got to go in and get your rabies treatment. Edward Van Sloan played the original Helsing. He was a San Francisco native and terrific. Now we come to present-day Van Helsing. Suddenly the cat is the prototype superhero. He's got 85 million different gadgets. He dresses like Indiana Jones, even though it's the 19th century. The whole thing is just right up the butt, if you'll pardon. It's up the butt, Bob, if you'll pardon the expression. So I would say this. Bypass that Van Helsing flick. Wait around for Tarantino's Bond movie. While we're waiting, let's go see that Batman flick, and let's just call it a day. What else? Man on Fire? I gotta see that. That looks really awesome. I'm just giving you the action movies, okay? Next week, I'll tell you about the really good movies to go see. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.